You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. On today's show, we have the most insane game ever to break down. If you went to bed early last night because of the West Coast game, probably a good call, although you missed an incredibly thrilling comeback. So in some respects, not a good call because there was a 7-run inning where you would have felt on top of the world in the 8th, and then you would have got brought back down to earth as the bullpen blew it twice, really. Going to go through that game in the first segment, and then I don't even know what else I'm going to do. I am so exhausted, people. We're going to talk about Jacob DeGrom, injury update on Jacob DeGrom and Trevor May. Also, my initial plan coming into the podcast was to talk about why it might make sense to demote Dominic Smith. He got a couple of late hits that might have changed that, but I still don't think it does, so I'll go through what I was thinking when the score was still 8-2 and it was looking like a blowout. Regardless, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at JustBaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. And I have to edit a highlight reel article after this, so it's going to be a late night, folks. I don't even know where to start with today's show. Obviously, we're going to recap the game right now, but it was like five games wrapped into one. You first had the game that we talked about leading in, right? Great pitching duel between Chris Bassitt and Logan Webb, and that just did not play out. Chris Bassitt really just does not like pitching against the Giants. I'm sure he's thrilled that this will be the last time he faces them this year. 13 runs allowed, if I'm not mistaken, against the Giants this season. 10 against everyone else. So that's obviously some bad work against one team that's going to really shape his stats this season. But it was just a rough go for him. And it almost inexplicably, obviously, his stuff wasn't great. I'm not saying that. But just the way that it seems like they're able to see the ball well off him and get hits, it has just been kind of shocking. It's a guy who has been so good against everybody else. He pitched into the 6th inning in every single start this year until tonight, gets rocked, gives up 8 hits, 8 runs, 3 walks, 3 home runs, didn't make it out of the 5th. Steven Nogasek comes on, and when he did, I tweeted out, here comes the inexplicable 3 scoreless innings of relief from Nogasek, because that just happens sometimes. These guys from the bottom of your bullpen come out in a game that's out of hand and somehow figure out a way to get out, so where it's easy because the game's so out of hand. Then again, Nogasek did throw the ball really well, had increased velocity, really was the only guy on the Mets that threw the ball well tonight outside of Adam Ottavino. Really keeps them into that game. Francisco Lindor had a sacrifice fly in the 5th, had a great game all around, defensively, offensively, and he comes up in the 7th, the Mets trailing 8-2, Starlin Marte on first base after an infield hit, which there was, by my count, 35 of them in this game. I'm obviously exaggerating, but it didn't even feel like it if you watched. And so with 2 outs, Lindor hits a home run that if you were about to go to bed, it was midnight, you said, I'll watch one more inning, right? guy going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning right now. And again, if you can't tell, I'm exhausted. So if I'm stumbling over my words, you're just going to have to deal with it for a day. But Lindor hits that home run. That keeps you up, right? Okay, one more inning. So you're going to stick around for the 8th, right? Well, if you stuck around for the 8th, you saw the most insane inning that you can imagine. As the Mets scored 7 runs, the Giants scored 3 and erased a lead that the Mets had just grabbed in that one inning. And by the end of the inning, it was 11-11. Not the time. Unfortunately, we were about 2 hours beyond that. No, it was 11-11. And the Mets just once again seemed like this team of destiny when they were able to take the lead and then it got grabbed from them and you wondered what would happen. So let me just walk you through the 7 runs the Mets scored real quick here. So first you have Jeff McNeil and Eduardo Escobar. They singled on line drives and went to the outfield. Beyond that, five hits that did not leave the ground for the Mets. First one, Mark Canna loads the bases with an infield hit. Then Dominic Smith, who I was originally going to talk about getting demoted tonight. That was the plan for the podcast because his OPS dipped below 500 early in this game. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's time. I'll touch on that potentially at the end of the show because I still have my prep that I had did previously, why it would make sense to demote Dom. But he gets two hits late that were clutch. This one, 104.1 miles per hour off the bat, directly down into the ground. Launch angle of minus 23. That gave the Mets two runs, so that cut the deficit in half. They're losing 8-6. You then have Luis Guillorme comes on. He hits a dribbler. This one not productive for the Mets, shockingly. Mark Canna gets caught in a pickle. He gets thrown out. The other two runners are safe, so you had two on. And then you have Brandon Nimmo up. He hits a number, but Nimmo a little faster. He's able to beat that out. That loads the bases. And you then have Starling Marte come up to the plate. He rips one, 99 miles per hour off the bat, right off of the chest of third baseman Kevin Padlow. He's unable to make a play on the ball. Everyone's safe. Dom scores. Bases are loaded. The Mets are now a run away from tying the game. Francisco Lindor, who previously hit that home run, comes up. He hits one on the ground, but scorches it over the third base bag into the outfield, clearing the bases. Jock Peterson misplays the ball a bit. That allows Lindor to get all the way to third. Lindor then is able to score on a sacrifice fly by Pete Alonso. So suddenly, that's how the Mets get to 11. They're up by three runs. Drew Smith's coming in. All right. I'm like thinking, okay, routine, writing up my notes. We're going to be talking comeback Mets win. Everyone get fired up about this one. What a win. Didn't happen. The bullpen blew it. And you can't really sugarcoat it other than to say the Giants had a little bit of the same good fortune the Mets had. But look, you know, they were able to get the clutch hits, Jock Peterson in particular. And so with two outs, Drew Smith gives up a hit. He walks a batter. Two guys are on. Jock Peterson ties the game. The Mets then have Dom Smith come up, the guy that I was going to talk about getting demoted. And he leads off the ninth of the triple. He then comes around to score on a sack fly by Brandon Nimmo, a one-run lead for Edwin Diaz. I got into my chair ready to record, waiting for that last out, thought Edwin Diaz would come on and notch the save, and he did. He got close, but gives up one too many hits, blows the game, and you know, the Mets end up losing 12-11. I can't even break down everything that happened in that final frame when it comes to Diaz on the mound, because honestly, I'm exhausted. I don't have notes on it, and I just watched it. But it was bad. Prior to that, I guess I should say also that Joel Rodriguez did pitch in that game after Drew Smith gave up the home run. He ended up giving up three soft contact hits, and then Adam Ottavino erased all of them by getting a huge strikeout. So Ottavino joins Nogasek as the only two pitchers that threw the ball well tonight. And the Mets lost. So crazy game. One of those games that if you were up for it, you'll never forget. And one of those games that you're going to read about, or you're going to be listening to this show or watching this show, you know, on what day is it? I don't even know. I went straight to Friday because that's how long the game felt. It's Wednesday. Okay, so on Wednesday, you're going to find out about the game and watch the highlights. I'm like, I can't believe that I missed all that, but you're going to be happy you missed it because it turns into somewhat of a heartbreaking loss. But this Mets team has been so good this year that I'm more exhausted than upset at this point. We're going to talk, though, about what I previously planned on talking about. Jacob deGrom, Trevor May injury updates. Dom Smith maybe should get demoted at some point, not after this game, but if he struggles in his next couple, I'm going to go through all of that. But with spring in the air, it's time for renewal and growth, both personally and professionally. And as your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier for you to find people you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? So post your job for free at linkedinjobs.com/lockedonMLB. Again, that is LinkedIn, MLB.com/LockedOnMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, back to your regularly scheduled programming. When I was originally preparing a podcast when the Mets were trailing 8-2, and I thought it was just going to be a typical blowout where the Giants would win, I would touch on that briefly, talk about the game, how Bassett struggled. That was the original plan, how Thomas Zupacki was going to take the mound most likely. I don't think they've officially announced it, but they've been hinting it for days. So we'll see Zupacki after the bullpen just got really taxed, try to win this series. The Mets are in a bad spot when it comes to this series, so we'll see if they can get the job done. I still think you admire their fight to get back in that game. Right now, this lineup needs to carry the Mets over the next couple of weeks, and I think what we're seeing is they're capable of doing that. Eduardo Escobar had 4 hits tonight. Maybe he's coming out of it. Jeff McNeil continues to hit well. Lindor had a big night. Starling Marte hitting the ball hard. Pete Alonso's been great. So bottom line is, they might lose this series, but what they just showed in that game is this is a team that is legit, and you can't count them out. So you also can't count them out from winning with Zupacki on the mound. I believe Jacob Junis is going for the Giants, so that is a game the Mets should still be able to compete in, but they're going to have to probably do it a little bit with their bats, unless, you know, Zupacki could surprise us. And honestly, wouldn't it just be so baseball for Chris Bassett to get knocked around for 8 runs, and then Thomas Zupacki in his second big league start after getting knocked around in his first start last year to come out of nowhere and pitch a gem. Could happen. Let's talk about really the biggest news of the day, though, which is that Jacob deGrom is back at Citi Field. He has moved his rehab from Port St. Lucie back north. This is so that team officials like pitching coach Jeremy Hefner can get their hands on him a little bit more, can be a little more involved in the process, as he is now starting to ramp his way up to a return, which is obviously massive. We knew he was throwing. He's now increased that distance of his long toss to 90 to 105 feet. His next step will be to throw some bullpens, get back on the mound. That could happen as soon as this weekend. So I wouldn't count on Jacob deGrom to be back anytime in the next, 3 or 4 weeks. But, they are aiming for late June. So maybe. Maybe. I still think this ends up getting pushed to July. That's just a gut feeling I have, where I think they're going to take this thing so slow. But if he's feeling good, he might start push them a little bit to get back out there. And if everything checks out medically, you can kind of put him through a normal spring training, right? That's basically what he's going to do now, is he's going to go through that normal ramp up. Now in spring training, that could still be 6 weeks. But we'll just see how he progresses. He's going to get on the mound, start throwing some bullpens. He'll throw some live BP. I'm sure he'll travel with the Mets on the West Coast, out in California for all those games they're about to play. So he can throw live BP to the Mets hitters, so he can work with Jeremy Hefner. And maybe after that West Coast swing, maybe you see him start the rehab process. Maybe that happens in the middle of the West Coast swing and they send him down to Port St. Lucie again, or up into Brooklyn and Syracuse, Binghamton, wherever it is, to start facing some hitters and get himself back ready to go. But great news. I think at this point, it's pretty clear that barring a setback, Jacob deGrom will be back ahead of Max Scherzer, and probably pretty significantly ahead of Max Scherzer at this point. Tyler McGill started to throw as well. We'll see what the process is with the two of them. Who knows? Maybe you see deGrom first before any of them. But right now, that is the update on the Mets ace. You also have some news on Trevor May, who tweeted himself that his body feels like it's moving better and stronger than it's been in a minute. He says his arm feels way better. And he said, we are quickly approaching imaging to see if we're good to ramp up. So once he gets cleared for an MRI, then he can start to throw bullpens again. He's obviously a relief pitcher, so it won't take as long to have him ramp up. Considering the way the Mets bullpen looked at the end of the game there, they could use him back soon. I'm not exactly sure when that 60-day IL stint would be up. Let me actually try to do that really quick here. Trevor May. So he hit the IL originally on May 3rd. So 60-day stint, short. Yeah, I guess he won't be able to get back until, May, June. So, probably still won't be able to get back until July, I would assume, on that one. So we'll see what happens with Trevor May, but he is heading closer and closer to a return as well. Now, quick word from our sponsors, but I'll close the show today talking about what I was initially planning on spending most of the show talking about, Dom Smith getting demoted. Couple late hits. Does that change anything? We'll go through that in just a minute. Okay, so there was a point in this game tonight where Dom Smith's OPS fell below 500, and I was, you know, looking over the other hitters on the Mets and seeing that he's gotten more plate appearances than both J.D. Davis and Luis Guillorme, and it's one of those things where I almost felt like the Mets should demote Dom almost to take that option away from Buck Showalter. It's simple as that. Also, I think for Dom, this could be a good time to get demoted. He would never want that. He obviously wants to be a part of everything going on. He wants to get himself right. He wants to be a huge part of the Mets winning this year. But currently, he has really struggled offensively. He's had his moments in this game. He had a couple late, but I will say one of them was a ground ball that found a hole. The triple, he hit the ball very well, but you know, someone could have made a play on it. And if someone made a play on that ball and they made a play on the grounder and then he didn't get any hits, obviously the narrative would be, of course, demote him. Now it changed a little bit, but I think the large sample size of what we've seen this season is a guy who's really struggling. And so the reason why I felt like this could be a time to demote Dominic Smith is just so that he can go to Syracuse, get his head on straight maybe. We've seen the Mets in the past. You know, in 2016, Michael Conforto got sent down in a sophomore slump. Obviously, Dom a lot further on in his career, so a little bit more, I don't know if you want to call it insulting, but disheartening maybe to get that demotion when you're more established. But you know, with Conforto, that demotion did him wonders. Luis Guillorme in 2019 got demoted, came back a different hitter. I think that for Dominic Smith right now, maybe just playing every day for 2 or 3 weeks will snap him out of it and you can call him right back up. But the way he's hit so far, I would clear him out so that you can give more of the playing time to J.D. Davis and to Guillorme. For me, I think I've made it very clear recently and obviously in past podcasts dating back to 2020 that I think Guillorme is a player that can handle an everyday role. I think what he brings you defensively really is something that helps the Mets win games. And I think if you were to go with Guillorme at third right now, primarily with Lindor and McNeil, it's one of the best defensive infields in baseball. And considering the arms you're throwing out there, I imagine he'll be out there for Zabucki's start, mostly because that was a long game and he didn't enter until the end of it. And I believe he was just in as a pinch hitter. And when they put Mazika in, to catch, I think they just pulled Guillorme out, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. A lot happened there. But the bottom line is he's more rested than a lot of the Mets regulars. So I'm sure he's going to be out there. Didn't start the first two games of this series. To me, you go defense with the pitching staff in its current state, and then you mix and match Eduardo Escobar and J.D. Davis. And obviously, there'll be days that Guillorme would rest, or even Acuña would rest and McNeil would slide to left. And so everyone would still get their playing time, but by pulling Dom out of the equation, you could just give more at-bats to Davis and to Guillorme, who are just swinging the bat better right now. And then who I would promote, I'd maybe go Daniel Palka, although he is really struggled right now. So the only reason why you go Palka is because he's a left-handed power bat that can run into one. And that would be his role, to at certain points go to him and see if he can hit home runs. He's leading Syracuse right now at 9. He's not on the 40-man roster. And a lot of those home runs came early in the season. Over his last 40 at-bats, his OPS is under 400. That spans 30 days. It's been a struggle for them. So with that, it's not like he's earned the promotion. He would just be there to kind of keep his seat warm on the bench. With that in mind, you could also go to Gusuke Kato. He was up for a couple of days with the Mets recently. Just a utility man. Just a guy that, again, kind of takes a seat on the bench and can be used in a role where he can help fill some needs, but I wouldn't imagine he would get any starts, right? If you wanted to get someone up that can make an impact, you'd go to Nick Plummer. He's hitting 250 with 313 on base, 511 slugging with 6 home runs, 5 doubles, 21 RBIs on the season, 824 OPS. I believe his OPS over the last month was close to 900. It was like 896. So you look at Nick Plummer, and I've talked about him a lot, a top prospect now. The Mets signed him this offseason. He was formerly with the Cardinals. They had a 40-man roster crunch. It left them available. The Mets snatched him up. He has the potential to actually be a starter for the Mets at some point this season if an injury opens up a spot for him. So one school of thought is you'd keep Plummer in the minors and let him get regular playing time until his number is called. If that is what you want to do, then you keep him stashed and you just know that he would be the best option as far as who's going to give you the best at bats. But maybe you want to give him and Dom regular playing time in the minors. And then the other options you can go to, if that is the case, is you can look at a Nick Mayer, bring up a third catcher, really good defensive catcher, not on the 40 yet either, but they could add him to the 40. Go that route if you want Patrick Mazika to maybe get some at bat to be able to be used as a left-handed power bat off the bench. You can go that route. I don't think they would, but that is an option. The last one that I would talk about when it comes to guys that could get promoted if the Mets decided to demote Dominic Smith would be to call up Jake Mangum. Now, Mangum just got the call from AA to AAA. He was hitting 347 with a 427 on base and a 444 slugging percentage over his last 20 games played in Binghamton with 5 stolen bases, 9 runs scored. Doing a really nice job. This is a guy that's known for his glove. You know, his maybe ceiling might be a fourth outfielder in the big leagues, but he could get there and be really solid. Is he 26 or did he turn 27? He might have already turned 27. He's an older prospect, played, you know, 4 years at Mississippi State. He's 26, turned 26 in March. Obviously, that's a guy that is a prospect, and in some respects, you want him to get regular playing time, but he's old enough that you could call him up right now, right, if you were to demote Dom. And you could give him a bat over Jankowski. And the reason I say that is because Jankowski's hitting 111 over the past month. So Mangum is a guy that could fill the Jankowski role. So if he swings the bat a little bit better, just gives you another option. So I would maybe call up Mangum, all right, demote Dom. And then you have a couple of speedsters that you could use in different spots with Mangum and Jankowski. And I'd maybe give, you know, Mangum a start here or there and see what you have in him. But the bottom line wouldn't really be about what player you're calling up. The bottom line in demoting Dominic Smith, if the Mets choose to do that, and I don't imagine it happens after the game we just saw and the couple hits that Dom had. I'm sure he'll get a little more run. If he turns the corner, he turns the corner. That's great. But if he continues to struggle, the idea of demoting Dominic Smith ahead of the trade deadline, you should get him in Syracuse. You hopefully get him right. If anything, too, if he puts up good numbers in Syracuse, it would be better than what he's doing at the MLB level right now when it comes to trade value. Not that I think he's ever going to have great value this season, but that's just another layer to this. More importantly, though, I think Dom needs to be playing every day to get his head on straight and figure out what's going on offensively. And I think that he needs to not be taking at-bats away from J.D. Davis and Louis Guillorme right now. So that's what I would do with that. again, that was what the entire show was supposed to be about tonight, or at least one or two segments of it. it was supposed to be the headline after what was going to be a forgettable Mets game. And instead, we got just an absolutely ridiculous Mets game that, again, if you're up for, you won't forget. And I'm sure for those of you who are just finding out what happened right now, a crazy game. Watch the highlights. Insanity. Weird defense. Weird hits. Weird momentum swings. I want to go to bed. So that's going to be all for this edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at @FicklesteinRyan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. For your second listen, check out Locked On MLB. I happen to know that Paul Francis Sullivan, who we call Sully, was staying up watching this game. He's on the West Coast, but he was not recording until that Mets game is over. So I'm sure he's going to be talking about it. So if you want to hear his perspective on it, check that out. You can find Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.